Working here in the Barnett Shale requires that you have the best equipment available, because every job counts. Put Energy Weld Fab to work on your next project. Energy Weld Fab manufactures oil and gas production equipment, as well as fabrication of custom vessels, piping, and structural steel. The Energy Weld Fab sales staff has a wealth of knowledge working here in the state of Texas and other regions, as some of their biggest clients are folks like EOG, Chesapeake, Quicksilver, and XTO. Call Mike Clements at Energy Weld Fab's team today with your questions and ordering information at 903-297-2500. That's 903-297-2500. Energy Weld Fab is your number one choice for oil field and production equipment, because they understand that every job counts. That's Energy Weld Fab at 903-297-2500.
His goal?
To win state.
Our goal? To keep him in bounds.
Huddle up, guys. 54, XY, go, on two, ready, break.
While he makes the play, we help make a difference in his life. Because as a man of integrity, he is certain to keep in bounds. Join FCA as we strive to put the heart and soul in sports by impacting the world for Jesus Christ. To learn more, contact us at FCA.org. That's FCA.org.
Looking to be a part of a dynamic company that provides exceptional service in the oil and gas industry? Then consider IPS. Integrated Production Services is a leading provider of production enhancement services for oil and gas producers. At IPS, we are currently seeking energetic and team-oriented individuals with a successful track record in the oil and gas field. Here at IPS, we are committed to building a better tomorrow and for future generations through our reputation of hiring the best professionals and industry leaders to serve our clients better. IPS is offering entry-level positions, plus also seeking knowledgeable professionals with experience in logging and perforating, coil tubing, and frac stimulation. Consider IPS for your future today. Send your resume to IPS, 2269 North Mash Branch Road, Suite Number 1, Denton, Texas, 76207, or give them a call at 940-484-4481. That's 940-484-4481. Or check us out online at ipsadvantage.com.
Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews. Ow. Beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker Campbell, it is time to tee it up this weekend on our show, and we are certainly looking forward to our very first interview and segment. We are delighted to have joining us on the Western Company of Texas phone line, Alan Shipnuck, who is the senior golf writer with Sports Illustrated, and he is the co-author with a brand new book that is out. He teamed up with Christina Kim, LPGA star, and we are going to be highlighting and focusing on that book. We've also got a number of compelling storylines that we've got to talk about in the world of the PGA, and Alan, welcome to our program. It's your first time on the show. Thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to learning and listening about Christina Kim's amazing journey and this book. It was really fascinating when I had the opportunity to sit down and read it. But first of all, we just got to kind of dial back the clock a little bit. Let's go back to last weekend at Whistling Straits. It's such a beautiful course, and the PGA Championship last weekend, but such a tough finish for Dustin Johnson, being assessed that two-stroke penalty for grounding his club. What was your impressions when the story unfolded?
Well, I was right there on the 18th hole when it all went down, and it's really, everybody loses in this situation. It made, you know, Johnson and his caddy look foolish for not knowing the rules. The PGA of America, Whistling Straits, took a big hit for having kind of useless bunkers that were ill-defined. It was just a bad situation. It was unfortunate. I mean, the bottom line is it's the player's responsibility to know the rules. Johnson did not. I think the penalty was correctly assessed, but clearly to have bunkers outside the ropes that are being trampled by fans, unraked, it's a bad idea. It doesn't exist on other courses and other tournaments, and it was really, you know, it's funny how these things happen in sports. When there's a problem that's been festering all week, of course it blows up on the very last hole. I mean, it could have happened on Saturday, right? I mean, it had to be the 72nd hole, the last group. It's just unbelievable how it played out. It was unfortunate. It gives golf a black eye, but, you know, the rules are the rules. You have to follow them.
And it certainly did unfold. Alan Shipnuck is along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Of course, he's the senior golf writer with Sports Illustrated. You just shared momentarily that you were actually right there when it all unfolded. Have you ever played the course? I mean, because it is a course that gets your attention, you know, the sloping fairways. It's, you know, so close to the big, beautiful Lake Michigan, but those pot bunkers, those will get you too.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's no course that looks better in high definition when you're sitting at home watching it. I mean, it's certainly visually spectacular. At the same time, it's kind of, you know, a monument to artifice and excess. I mean, 1,000 bunkers, you know, that course cost $1 billion to build. It probably cost just as much to maintain. In some ways, it's sort of, to me, all that's wrong with modern golf architecture. But, and, you know, it sort of was exposed in the Johnson ruling. You have these extraneous bunkers that don't really need to be there and don't serve much purpose. And, of course, they affected the outcome of the tournament. So, I mean, I like Whistling Straits. I enjoyed playing it, but there's some issues as a tournament venue, and they're going to have to get sorted out as it, you know, hosts more PGAs and Ryder Cups and everything else. Because the way the bunker situation is now, it's not sustainable.
Definitely a better definition when you talk about the bunker situation. What was kind of the feedback from some of the players on Whistling Straits and just their perspective when this all happened?
Well, the players liked the venue, I think, but they're certainly vexed by all the bunkers, and a lot of them, you know, kind of sprang Johnson's defense, saying, "Hey, we didn't know that was the rule either," which doesn't speak well for them either. I mean, it was posted all over the locker room. I actually nabbed from the locker room the rule sheet that was right next to Johnson's locker, just as a souvenir. I mean, it was like three steps away. I don't know how he couldn't have seen it. So, you know, it really is incumbent on the caddies, on the rules officials. The players are so focused on what they're doing at any given moment. There needs to be some support out there everyone just kind of failed on you know, coming down the stretch there with Johnson.
It certainly was very disappointing for Dustin Johnson, and he's had heartbreakers before. How will he respond to this? How do you think he'll go from here?
Well, you know, the impressive thing was, I mean, he birdied 13, 16, and 17 to take the lead, and you know, after he blew up at Pebble Beach on Sunday, there was a lot of questions about his mental toughness and his ability to bounce back. I mean, he sort of answered all that. He really played great coming down the stretch. But you know, this is another body blow. I mean, ask Greg Norman or Ernie Els, and these things, the scar tissue starts adding up, and it gets harder and harder to shake off the disappointment. So I think, you know, he's obviously got a lot of talent. He's got a lot of desire. I think he's gonna. Going to keep going forward, but this is a tough one, and you know, in this era, there's so many good players, it's hard to get chances to win majors. I mean, he's now 0-2, and he's got, how many more chances is he going to get? I mean, that's the real question.
Alan Shipnuck is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Here momentarily, we are going to be talking about his brand new book that is out. He has teamed up with Christina Kim. Always so much fun to hear about her fascinating life on the LPGA. The title of her brand new book is Swinging From My Heels. I'm looking forward to talking about it. Have to ask you, though, quickly, Alan, talk about, you know, you had just mentioned, you know, disappointment for Dustin Johnson. What about Tiger Woods? Give us the pulse on what's the latest for him, and is he going to hire a new swing coach?
Yeah, you know, certainly he's heading down that road with Sean Foley, who's kind of the swing coach of the moment right now. He's got a lot of his players are playing really well this year. You know, I believe Tiger when he says he hasn't made a decision. I think it's sort of like getting married. When you're going to commit to a swing coach, and we all know Tiger has some marital issues, so it's like he's doing his due diligence. I mean, they're doing a lot of talking. I think they're trying to figure out if they'll be a good fit. There's also the issue, and Foley's got four or five guys that he's loyal to, and, you know, Tiger's very demanding of his swing coaches are like surgeons who are on call at all times, so it may not be a good fit for them. So I think they'll have some more conversations. I think it's a good match from a swing theory standpoint, but, you know, Foley's kind of a brash, outspoken character. He loves the limelight. That's not really a good mix of what Tiger's looking for in his people. I mean, he's always wanted supplicants who will just, you know, stay out of the way and stay out of the spotlight. So, I don't know. I'm not sure if Foley's going to be the guy, but certainly Tiger needs someone. I mean, that's obvious. He's struggling. He's also one of those guys who, he always has to be working on something. You know, his quote is, if you're not getting better, you're getting worse. And so he needs someone to keep him engaged and to bounce ideas off of. So if it's not going to be Sean Foley, I think, you know, by early next year, he'll found somebody else.
Can you give us any updates on Tigard and Elon? I mean, how are things progressing in terms of that situation? Is it beyond reconciliation at this point?
Well, nobody really knows, but, you know, the reports that are leaking out of Florida that they really have no contact. I mean, when they're, it's the nannies and the whoever who are passing the kids off from one to the other, and that they're in separate houses. I mean, it certainly looks like they're heading for a divorce, and I mean, it's hard to imagine she'd want it any other way, but I'm not really privy to the behind the scenes, but certainly for Tiger's sake, I think it'll help if there's some resolution. I mean, this is kind of, I'm sure that's partly why he's been struggling there. He's just in this weird limbo in his private life, and either they get back together or they get divorced, but one way or the other, I think it'll help him when it's resolved, because I'm sure it's quite a mental grind what he's going through now.
And I'm sure he's ready to put 2010 behind him. Hey, we're going to move forward. We're going to segue and talk about the brand new book that Alan Shipnuck has put together with Christina Kims, titled Swinging From My Heels. And, you know, you've had an opportunity to spend a lot of time around her. She's got to be so much fun to work with. She's smart, she's personable, and she is very funny, isn't she, Alan?
Yeah, I mean, I think Christina's one of the funniest people in professional sport. Never mind golf. She's just a ball of energy. I mean, that's obvious. But at the same time, she's very well read. She's very well traveled. She has a lot of counterintuitive opinions on a lot of things. And so I've always enjoyed spending time with her. And, you know, our relationship sort of began in 2004. I did a feature on her for Sports Illustrated. That was her second year on tour. And we've always kept in touch since then. And, you know, the more I got to know her and her life and her journey through golf, I just really felt like she needed a larger platform to tell her story. And at the same time, you know, she's be such a good tour guide to take people through the subculture of the LPGA, because it's really a fascinating place, and it's never been written about in any kind of detail. And you know, I just, you know, Christina was the right person to introduce the tour to a larger audience.
And I'm curious, I mean, Alan, is this something that she wanted to do for quite some time? She's very young, what, only 25 years old, and already has had, you know, been able to put a book out. What was the inspiration for her to perhaps share her story?
Well, she loves attention, so there was that. but she also loves the LPGA. She does everything that's ever asked of her to try and promote the tour and to help the tour. And, you know, she just saw this as another way to do that. And you know, it was really, I came to her with the idea, and you know, her first words were, you know, "I'm so honored you chose me." I mean, that was really kind of the spirit that this book was done under. She's just totally enthusiastic and fired up about it. And at the same time, you know, when I did throw the idea at her, I told her that if this book is going to work, it has to be just brutally honest in every way. You have to open up your life. You have to, you know, tell all your secrets, and do the same with the tour as a whole. And she really embraced that, and I think that's why it's worked, because, you know, nobody wants to read a boring golf book. There's enough of those out there. I mean, the challenge was to do something different and fresh and unique.
Well, it was really remarkable. I think, you know, as I had gone through the book, that what really stood out to me is, you know, Christina, she was very transparent, and that takes a lot of courage to be able to share so many intimate details of your life on and off the course, and there's some great photos in there, too, and it kind of gets you, lets you know a little bit about her a little bit better.
Yeah, I mean, professional athletes in general are harder and harder to get to know. I mean, there's, you know, kind of this fortress around their inner self, and there's all the media coaching and the agents and the PR people. And, you know, to be able to strip that away and just really have any athlete tell you so much about their life, their dreams, their insecurities, their ups and their downs. And there's a great opportunity for me as a reporter. And I think, you know, readers have really responded to that honesty and really connect with Christina, because she does have this great, you know, jet set life. There's sort of a little Sex and the City element to the book, you know. I mean, she loves to have fun and be out on the town and all that, and we celebrate those things. But she's also very honest about her struggles, you know, whether it's her body image, whether it's trying to liberate herself from her kind of old school Korean parents, you know, trying to balance the very demanding job she has with having a life away from it. And, you know, these are things that a lot of players go through, but not many talk about. And so I think for golf fans, it's really refreshing to kind of get the answers to the questions that they have about, you know, these players' lives and what they confront.
It really gives you an inside glimpse of what life is like on the tour. I mean, it's not all glamorous. You start reading that, I'm exhausted by the time I'm going through the book, because just the travels and the demands and all that she has to meet that is beyond the game of golf. I mean, she really talks about that in great detail.
Yeah, the LPGA is such a unique place. I mean, it's the most global sports organization there is. It's the premier, you know, public or premier sports universe for professional female athletes. So you have all these different things that are going on. I mean, they're traveling the world. A lot of them are very young, like Christina. And so just the pressures of tournament golf are enough. At the same time, they're facing all the other questions and issues that young women have about trying to find love, trying to balance career with family, you know, all those things. And so there's just a lot going on out there. And, you know, there's financial hardships on the LPGA that are kind of unknown in other sports. And so there's just so much happening beyond the birdies and bogeys. And, you know, we had a lot of fun writing about the tournaments and taking readers inside the ropes and, in, you know, the heart and the mind of a competitor, what she's feeling, you know, what Christina's feeling over a particular shot, what she's thinking. And I think the golf stuff is really cool. But really, it's the life away from the tournaments that I think is there's a lot of revelations there for readers.
What is the biggest challenge that she faces on a daily basis as a professional athlete?
I think for Christina, you know, when she was a phenomenon. I mean, by the time she was 21, she'd won twice. She'd starred on the Ryder Cup. People thought she might be the next Annika Sorenstam. But she kind of, to get to that point, she pushed so hard, she really was burnt out. And she kind of stepped away from golf in some ways. I mean, she kept playing the tour, but she was much more dedicated to chasing boys and having fun and really just finding out who she was and what made her happy. And, you know, she kind of has come out of that, but now she's trying to find this balance. You know, if she stood at the range all day hitting golf balls like some of these other players, I'm sure her game would be a little better, but she'd be so miserable she'd be off the tour in 6 months. So, you know, it's just this ongoing battle for Christina to just balance the demands of the tour and keep living her fun, you know, fun-loving, free-spirited life. And, you know, that's ongoing. I mean, she's only 25. She's still trying to figure things out, even though she's been on tour for a long time. And so I think that's probably the biggest thing. And, you know, she's trying to – there's also golf stuff. You know, she's been working on her swing. Her putting comes and goes. So there's all those maddening issues that every pro golfer faces as well.
And she also shares a lot about her family, the very special dynamic that she has in relationship with her father. Can you talk a little bit about that, Alan?
Yeah, that was another reason why Christina was such a good tour guide for the LPGA is because, you know, she's a very liberated California girl. I mean, she was born and raised in the San Jose area, and yet her parents are first-generation immigrants. You know, Korean is their native tongue, very traditional in a lot of ways. So there's this culture clash in Christina's life that's, you know, mirrored in a larger way by the tour in general. And, you know, it's no secret the LPGA has struggled to you know, to kind of incorporate the wave of Korean-born players into the fabric of the tour. And Christina, because she travels on, you know, two passports as an American with mostly American friends, but she also understands the Koreans. She can move amongst those cliques. She really has tremendous insight into the whole Korean issue on the LPGA. And so I think that's some of the strongest stuff in the book, I think, is she's kind of explaining the culture on tour out there and the pressures that these young women face and you know, her own, you know, she loves her dad. He's been a huge part of her career. He taught her how to play. He was self-taught. They've kind of figured the game out together. You know, early in her career, he was her caddy and her agent and they traveled together. And so, I mean, she owes a lot to him and she's happy to acknowledge that, but she realized for her own happiness, she needed to break away from him in a lot of ways. And so, you know, that kind of plays out on the pages of the book. I mean, it's an ongoing process. And, you know, to be a dutiful Korean daughter and yet to be your own woman, it's a struggle.
And you have to share the story with all of our listeners this weekend, how he introduced the game of golf to her. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, Christina's father, I mean, he just picked up the game in his 30s and kind of taught himself to play and got the bug. And so one day he comes home with Christina and her siblings and, you know, hands him a golf club. They didn't even seen one before. And he says, "Here, go in the backyard and swing this as hard as you can." And so Christina does. And she's like, "Oh, that's kind of cool." Now he says, "Okay, do it 499 times." and that was their routine for like 2 months straight. Every day, each of the kids had to swing 500 times in the backyard. No ball, just swinging the club. And then finally, he took them to a driving range to hit balls, and it kind of made sense that, oh, now we get it. This is what this game is all about. But, you know, and Christina, her older brother, you know, she thinks he could have been a tour player. He had so much natural ability, but he could never really deal with the demands of their father and, to some degree, her older sister as well. But Christina just kind of thrived. I mean, she was the youngest in the family, and all she wanted to do was make her parents proud of her and make them happy. And so she really threw herself into the game in the manner that her father wanted. And so it gives you some insight into not only her personality, but also just the relationship between the two of them. I mean, if most kids, you tell them to do something 500 times, it's not going to happen. But she gladly kind of embraced that.
Well, I'm interested. How far can she drive the ball?
Well, she's long. I mean, her average on tour last year, I think, was about 265 yards. But, I mean, when she really gets one, I mean, she can approach 300 yards, you know, on the right conditions. So, you know, length is not an issue. She's definitely one of the best ball strikers out there. You know, really, for her, it comes down to putting. When she puts well, she has a chance to win. And if she has a bad putting week, she's fighting to make the cut. So
that's the way it is for all of us, Alan.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's true. But there's players out on the LPGA Tour that drive it, you know, 215, but Christina's not one of them. I mean, she can really move it.
Alan Shipnuck is along with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Of course, he is the senior golf writer with Sports Illustrated. We are highlighting and focusing on his brand new book with Christina Kim titled Swinging from My Heels, Confessions of an LPGA Star. This radio interview is going to be at our podcast page at eradiosports.com. And, you know, I learned a lot of things about the LPGA, and I think one of the things that you guys went into great detail about was the reasons behind the Korean explosion on the LPGA Tour and the fact that one of the biggest revenue streams is the Korean television network. Can you expound on that a bit?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, there's been some static as the Koreans have become such a dominant force on the tour. But, in this current economy, it's really the Korean money is what's keeping the tour afloat. And so it's ironic that the players and the fans who, you know, complain, oh, the Koreans are killing the LPGA Tour, when in fact they're helping it survive. But, it's part of the tour, it, just like Christina in some ways, the tour is looking for its identity. I mean, it wants to be a U.S.-based tour. It wants to attract American fans and corporations, but really the opportunity to grow is overseas, and so they're playing more and more of their tournaments across Asia. They've moved into, you know, South America. There's opportunities in Europe and elsewhere, and so, the tour is trying to figure out the formula that's going to really help it thrive and survive. And so, Christina last year was a player director, and she was privy to a lot of the behind the scenes, the back and forth ultimately led to the ouster of Commissioner Carolyn Bivens. And that's an interesting little part of the book as well, is just, there's pressures on the players in the LPGA that don't exist in other pro sports. I mean, if you finish 100th on the money list on the LPGA Tour, you're going to make about $95,000. And by the time you pay your caddy and your airfare, you're pretty much broke. And you finish 100th on the PGA Tour money list, and you're a millionaire. So it can be a tough life out there. I mean, the top players are certainly making a good living, but you get further down the money list, and it's a struggle to survive. And that adds a certain desperation to the tournaments, which I think makes it really compelling.
And one of the things I did want to talk about, just back up for a moment, you had highlighted about her relationship with her father. Who has been, for Christina Kim, who has been that role model on the tour, someone that she looks up to as a woman?
Well, there's some older players, you know, like Nancy Lopez was her captain at the Solheim Cup in 2005, and they have a great relationship, and she's been a mentor, and obviously Nancy's been a huge force in women's golf. So there's people like that, and you know, Julie Inkster, who's also a Northern California woman, her and Christina have a great relationship. But there's also contemporaries. I mean, Paula Creamer and Natalie Gulbis, Christina grew up playing against them in junior golf. And so she looks to them, the success they've had and the way they've been able to, manage their image and the business side of things. I mean, they're inspirations to her. And, Sayre Pack, of course, she kind of changed the face of women's golf single-handedly with what she did, and Christina's good buddies with her. And you know, Christina's close friends with Michelle Wee, too, and even though she's older, she does admire a lot of things about Michelle. So she has a big circle of friends and mentors, and you know, she takes a little bit from each of them. And that's kind of a fun thing in the book is, you know, anytime that these players pop up in the narrative, Christina always has some really good personal insight into who they are. And, you know, I've chronicled the LPGA for a long time, and if I can only get so close to the players that, you know, as an outside observer, where Christina knows everything about them, she's on their Facebook pages, she stays up late, you know, commiserating about boy troubles and whatever, so there's an intimacy that she can bring to talking about these players that's really cool, and I think golf fans will really enjoy.
Oh, absolutely. The title of the book is Swinging From My Heels, Confessions of an LPGA Star. Of course, we're talking about Christina Kim, the unforgettable. She is certainly very, very special. I'm glad you brought up and talked about her relationship with Michelle Wee, because she shares in the book that, you know, she's been like a big sister to her.
Yeah, and, you know, Christina was, when Michelle finally won last year and people kind of realized she'd really blossomed into a really engaging young woman, and a lot of the controversies from her, you know, early teen years and her overbearing parents and all that kind of disappeared, and people kind of discovered that Michelle's a really fun character and there's a lot to like and a lot to root for. I mean, Christina knew that years ago, and she talks about that in the book. And, you know, the Solheim Cup chapters is some of, I think, the best stuff in the book. And a big part of that week was watching Michelle blossom. You know, they played a couple matches together, and you know, no one gets inside the team room at the Solheim Cup. There's no parents. There's no swing coaches. It's really the inner sanctum. And, you know, Christina kind of takes the readers there, and you get to see a fun side of Michelle. You know, they're bumping and grinding to hip-hop music at night and all that. So, I think that's a nice aspect of the book. And it's not only Michelle. I mean, it's Lorena Ochoa. It's Paula Creamer, Natalie Gulbis. I mean, all the players you really care about. It just so happens that Christina's close friends with all of them, so she can bring that kind of access to talking about them.
And, of course, you got some nice photographs in this book as well. Alan Shipnuck has been along with us this weekend. And I have to tell you, how different was it writing this particular book? Because I kind of flipped the calendar back a few years ago, and you had written a book on Rich Beem, walking on the wild side of the PGA Tour.
Yeah, you know, people have made parallels between Rich and Christina just because they've been the protagonists of a couple of books that I've done. And They are similar characters in that the really fun-loving, the really outsized personalities. They had kind of unique journeys through golf, and so I can definitely see that. But, you know, I didn't want to write the same book twice. That was part of the appeal of writing. You know, this book is done in Christina's voice. It's first person, and that was a fun challenge for me to take our endless interview notes and to write it as her and to capture that voice, and I really enjoyed that. You know, my wife kind of jokes that in another life I must have been like a young, cool Asian chick, because it was really comfortable for me to write as Christina, and it was a really fun collaboration, really seamless. And, you know, basically we would talk for hours. I would put all the material into a chapter, and that was where my background, you know, helped in finding a theme, shaping the narrative a little bit, and then I would email to Christina for her comments, and there was times where, you know, in a 6,000-word chapter, she'd make, you know, three comments, and we'd change, you know, a few sentences, and so we just worked together very well, and it was certainly a fun challenge and something different than what I'm used to, but I really enjoyed it.
Christina Kim, she's frank, she's fearless, she's controversial. Definitely you want to go out and get a copy of her new memoir, Swinging From My Heels, The Confessions of an LPGA Star, and very well written by Alan Shipnuck, the senior golf writer with Sports Illustrated. Congratulations on another great book, and Alan, we look forward to your next project. What would that be?
Well, I've got some ideas for sure, but nothing solid yet. You'll be the second person to know. How about that?
Outstanding. We'll definitely invite you back on the program. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and we'll talk to you again real soon. Thanks, Alan.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead. Gary Anderson, Utah State's head football coach, will be joining us momentarily.
The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell is the biggest names in sports.
Delivering the insight
you won't find anywhere else.
Anywhere else.
Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson,
Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum,
and Big E's regular guest of ESPN Radio, better known as the Double Nickel, Jason Peter. The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Miss one episode and you miss the game.